Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. All week, Tony has been talking trash about me, and I'm back to let him have it.
I'm Frank Isola. Sorry, Mike, I think he's ducking you.
Oh, well, what do you do, go to his beach compound? You know, he comes on giving bits of bit misinformation every day. Wilbon said this, Wilbon said that. Wilbon said the Czech Republic was good. Where is he? Where is he?
He only wanted to talk NBA free agency. Once it was basically over, he said, I'm out. I'm leaving.
I'm sure. He's at his compound, Delaware compound.
Exactly.
Hiding behind guarded gates. Welcome to PTI. Tony couldn't even make it to Thursday, so I am delighted to be joined by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Wow. Look at that.
That's a big ovation for someone.
Not bad.
Let's begin with a stunner from Spain. Barcelona has said see ya to Lionel Messi. This was the day Messi was supposed to sign his new 5-year deal. Instead, the club announced he will be departing due to, quote, financial and structural obstacles, close quote. The 34-year-old Messi scored 672 goals over 778 matches for Barca, leading the team to 10 La Liga and 4 Champions League titles. For this, the club thanked him and wished him well in his, quote, personal and professional life. Ouch. Frank, what do you make of all this?
You said it, Michael. It's shocking. You know, we sat here a month ago, and Lionel Messi just won Copa America. He also signed about to sign the big deal with Barcelona. And we're thinking, you know what? His career is really now at a stage where he's won a lot of things. He's going to finish it out with Barcelona. And for this to come down today, as the season is about to start next week, it starts on the 13th. When you have a player of this caliber and this magnitude, this would be Michael Jordan just before he's about to re-sign with the Chicago Bulls walking away. Lionel Messi is still the best player in the world, arguably the greatest player of all time. They have a saying in Barcelona, more than a club. But guess what? For all these years, the club has been Lionel Messi. This is as shocking as it gets, especially considering the timing.
Well, here in America, those of us who are watching afar, and for someone like me who only in the last, 10 years or so has gotten as up to date to some degree and gotten really interested enthusiastically about world football, I was going to compare him more to LeBron. Sorry, Frank, that could start a fight right here. I was going to compare him more to LeBron than Michael Jordan. But what gets me is, and there probably are some similarities, we're talking about right now, those two would probably be the biggest figures in world sport, right?
Yep.
At least in team sport.
Yep.
And so, one thing has evaded Messi. I know if I touch on that, the Messi supporters will go crazy. But it just seems like, what do you mean structural and financial obstacles? I mean, what does that mean in this day and age of modern sport where television rights, broadcasting rights, and now social media rights make everybody flush? What does that mean? Was just this a way of getting out from under something that would not let that club compete at the highest level? Maybe third is just not what they want to do and they want to retool? This is a stunner from all sorts of different perspectives.
Well, COVID certainly impacted it. And I think you're right about the age. But remember now that he's available and he can go on a free transfer. So Barcelona won't even make any money off of this. And you could start lining up the teams with big money like Manchester City. Pep Guardiola is the manager there. He's always wanted Lionel Messi. And then you have PSG where you have Neymar from Brazil and Mbappe, who was the hero of the World Cup a couple of years ago. That's the big team in France. So already you're hearing about those two teams. I think that's where he's going to end up. But to think that Lionel Messi, who was in Barcelona as a kid, played in that academy. And Michael, we talked about it. When he won the Copa America for Argentina, they were celebrating on the streets of Barcelona. That's how much that player means to that country and especially to that city. All right, let's go to the Olympics and Carl Lewis blasting USA's performance in the men's 4x100-meter relay. Fred Curley and Ronnie Baker, they botched the baton pass between the second and third leg, and the U.S. failed to qualify for the final. Lewis, who won 9 Olympic golds and a silver, he's all-time great, blamed leadership in a tweet calling the performance, quote, a total embarrassment.
Ooh.
How about that? Ooh. And he described it to Christine Brennan of USA Today as, quote, a clown show. Wow. All right, what would you call it, Mike?
Whatever Carl Lewis says it is, Frank, that's what it is. I mean, look, he talked to Christine. Christine and I have been talking to Carl Lewis for decades, watching him, listening to him, If Tony was on the show today, he'd be piping in the same thing. Carl Lewis, to me, is the greatest Olympian of all time. Certainly the greatest American Olympian for me. And when Carl, look, this whole baton, the handoff has been a problem at various times in international competition for the United States men's relay team and women sometimes for decades. I mean, Carl Lewis is nearly my age. This has been going on forever and ever and ever and ever. Why can't we ever get it right? It's my first reaction when I heard this today. It's like, my God, I've been writing about this. I was for the Washington Post and Christine for the Post and USA Today in the 80s.
Yep.
And we still can't do this. So when Carl expresses this, uses this kind of vitriol, yes, it's I'm sure it's worthy of it. He's disgusted by it. And it shouldn't happen.
No, it definitely shouldn't. You know, it's interesting. Otto Bolden talked about it last night with China qualifying and Japan both qualifying for the final, that those teams, they run those same four guys most of the time all year long. There is still this arrogance about us in track and field, and I think, in basketball we've seen it, where we feel if we just show up, we're going to win. It's not that way anymore. I mean, now listen, we were 2/100ths of a second away from qualifying for the final. But at one point in the last leg with Gillespie, we were in third place. So it wasn't just the baton pass. We also were a little slow and we needed some closing speed because Ghana beat us out. If we had finished fifth, we would have qualified for the final. And then things, you could put different runners in and everything like that. So we would have had a chance. But this is as disappointing as it gets. And I think about Carl Lewis, though, who, as you said, is great. I remember showing up at the U.S. Track and Field Championships one year. He showed up in a tuxedo as a T-shirt because he said, that's how great I am, how important I am. But for him to say total embarrassment, I think about the national anthem. Remember the national anthem when he sang it at the next game? That was embarrassing. Totally, this was just
bad. Let me add this, Frank, quickly. Just the way we expect to win in basketball, men's and women's, and men's for, 100 years, the way we expect to win, We have been that dominant in this relay, in any relay, men and women. And so to not have this, by the way, I don't think we've won a gold
since 2000.
Yep. I was there.
We haven't medaled in the last four Olympics, Mike.
I mean, it's unspeakable that our track and field situation in that particular event is at this point, and I understand Carl Lewis's anger. Let's move to Team USA advancing to the gold medal game, speaking of, in Olympic basketball. Kevin Durant scored 23 points, sat out the fourth quarter as the U.S. battled back from its usual early 15-point deficit, but beat Australia by 19. The U.S. will now face France, which beat Team USA in a group play event just a week and a half ago. Frank, aren't we back to the point now where we expect Team USA, after those early troubles, to win gold?
Yes, yes, and yes. Our best player is Kevin Durant. France's best player in the tournament has been the newest Nick, Evan Fournier. That's all you need to know. And France is a very good team. They probably should have lost today to Slovenia. But look at what the U.S. has done in the four games that they've played since losing to France. We have won by a combined 122 points. Now, you want to talk about we blew out Iran. I think it was by 54. All right. But since we got to the last two games, we've won by a total of 33 points. So we're blowing teams out again. But I'll tell you this. I watched the Slovenia game, and I wanted Luka Doncic to be there because I wanted to see Luka against Kevin Durant. You know that Luka Doncic was 5 of 18. He had one field goal in the second half. And, Mike, in a close game in the last 4 minutes, he did not attempt a shot in the last 4 minutes. Kristaps Porzingis must have been sitting home saying, how come when I'm out there you never pass me the ball? Now I'm watching the Olympics with a chance to get your country in the gold medal game, and you're not shooting. I didn't understand.
We saw that in the playoffs. And I don't – look, Luka Doncic has got to grow up. He's a petulant little child some of the
time.
Complains
a lot.
And look, in 3 or 4 years, Frank, 4 or 5 years, 5 years he's going to be 27. In 4 or 5 years, he's going to be the best player likely in the world. But if he doesn't grow up, there's always going to be a but. What if Luka had done it this way? And he's got to get over that. He's 22. I tend to still say, okay, let's just not be too harsh. Kevin Durant's the best player in the world right now. It's either him or LeBron if healthy, but it's Kevin Durant right now. It's his moment, and it might be Luka in the future. But look, this reminds me of the 1992 situation. You mentioned those margins of victory and the average margin of victory and the total. And when Charles Barkley said, I don't know much about Angola, but I know they're in trouble. France is in trouble now.
I think so, they've
beaten us two straight times. I know that. France is in trouble in this gold medal game.
Batum, by the way, had a big block to save the victory
terrific.
Against Slovenia.
He's been great.
And so is Fournier. The newest Nick, Mike, get on board.
Goodness, please. We got a team taking shape right here behind me over the river. We don't need the other river, the Hudson. We don't need that. We're taking a break. But coming up, the Spencer Dinwiddie significantly improved the outlook for the Washington Wizards.
Nick Fench just said they want you to jump in that river.
Yeah.
And Anthony Rizzo. This kid, have you ever heard of him, Mike? I guess he's doing well for the Yankees.
I don't watch that anymore. I don't watch that.
Rizzo,
don't
baby.
Love him. Don't acknowledge him.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Time to play Fill in the Blank with Fill in Frank. See what we did there? Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Spencer Dinwiddie will be a blank addition for the Washington Wizards.
Frank, a terrific addition.
Wow.
I mean, nobody's thinking about the Wizards. Nobody's talking about the Wizards, but even after this free agent sort of movement and the trade, of course, moving Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. But you put Dinwiddie on a team with Bertans, such a great shooter. Of course, the all-star and all-league player Bradley Beal. Hachimura, who's become terrific. I thought he was going to be good when they drafted him. Others can shut up. I got that right. I'm getting that right. Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kantavious Caldwell-Pope.
Yep.
You got a kid like Kispert coming in who should have a role increasingly. Frank, that's an 8-man roster.
Yeah.
That's a real roster. In the East, they can move up and threaten some people.
Yeah, I'm going to say decent for now, even though I think Tommy Shepard did
a really good
job. Here's the thing about Dinwiddie. He's coming back from knee surgery.
I know.
He's had two major knee surgeries. Now, Spencer Dinwiddie is a very good offensive player.
Yeah.
Listen, when he didn't make the All-Star team a couple of years ago, he was complaining. I didn't like this spring. When he was playing for the Brooklyn Nets, he did not show up for the playoff games. Even if you knew you weren't going to be there, can you just show up at least for the home games? I'm not saying you got to get on the team plane and fly to the road games. But Spencer Dinwiddie is a very good player. Here's what I like about it. The minute they made the deal, then you had Bradley Beal coming out saying, yeah, I want to be here. This is where I want to be.
Yes.
So once the Westbrook trade was made, then you had Spencer Dinwiddie. It made Bradley Beal happy, which, guess what? Tommy Shepard is doing his job.
That's right. And Bradley Beal, not looking for a reason to leave the last few years. Looking for every reason to stay. He should be applauded. The Wizards are going to be a playoff team for real.
They were a playoff team last year. Decent.
What's next?
Anthony Rizzo has been blank for the Yankees.
You know, he's been a lot of things to a lot of people in New York, which I don't care about. You see the river I'm on? You see the river here, okay? We're not east.
I'm not with you,
near the Brooklyn Bridge or any of that. Rizzo is dead to me. That's what he is. I know he's hit home runs. I know he's been great. He's Rizzo. He's been great. He helped win a World Series already in 2016 and get to two other NLCS games. I don't care. He's dead to me. If he's got value to you, Frank, as a New Yorker, I'm happy for you. But I'll stand when he walks into a restaurant the next time in Chicago. I'll applaud. I'll try to buy his dinner. He's dead to me.
Well, my word would be monumental, because every time Michael Wilbon travels to New York to go to his favorite stadium, Yankee Stadium, he goes out of Monument Park, and he sees Lou Gehrig out there, and he sees Don Mattingly.
You know, I do
and
that,
right
actually.
Now, our guy Anthony Rizzo is playing like a guy who's trending that way.
Yeah.
Six games, six RBIs, everyone loves him. How many guys do you think have the last name Rizzo up in the Bronx? So he fits right in. By the way, one thing about Monument Park, the plaque for George Steinbrenner is not in Monument Park, but I heard it's so big you could see it from the moon. So that's what they do in Monument Park. Anthony Rizzo has been a huge addition. You think about the recent great first baseman for the Yankees, Teixeira, Tino Martinez, even Giambi. Yeah. And now we got Anthony Rizzo.
I'm unhappy.
Lights
He's
out.
Dead to me, Frank.
Great for
dead
New York. Tony
to
Rizzo.
Me. That's it. Please, let's quickly take a break. But still to come, finally some better news on the quarterback front for the Minnesota Vikings.
Anthony Rizzo and this kid, Javi Baez, has been doing some remarkable
things
for
the Mets. You're killing
me. Mike, have you ever heard of this guy?
You're killing me.
Rizzo, Baez.
Baez,
they fit right
dead
in
to
New
me.
York.
Dead to me, Baez. And the Mets.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 59th birthday, Patrick Ewing. I've been fortunate to cover every stage of his magnificent career, from three Final Fours and one NCAA title at Georgetown, to two Olympic gold medals, the second as a member of the Dream Team, to being the number one pick in the NBA draft, an 11-time All-Star, and a finals appearance with the Knicks, an assistant with three teams, and now back where he started, at Georgetown as the head coach. His record over four seasons is 62-59, but his team rallied to win the Big East tournament in March. Ewing's first interview in college came on a Piedmont flight in coach. He was in the middle seat, sitting next to me. I'm grateful. He's one of my favorite people in 40 years of being in sports media, and I cheer for him at every level as if, Frank, he was family.
He's the best. I got to cover Patrick his last 5 years in New York. By the way, he got traded 20 years ago. Guess how many playoff series they've won since he left?
None.
One.
Well, one. There you
one
have
One playoff
it.
Series.
There you have
Patrick.
Happy anniversary, Tom Glavine. On this day 14 years ago, Glavine became just the 23rd pitcher to win 300 games. Glavine was 41 and in his final season of five for the Mets. The next season, he returned to Atlanta, where he spent 17 seasons in all, winning 20 games five times, two Cy Youngs, and one World Series title. Only Randy Johnson has joined the 300-win club since Glavine. The active leader is 38-year-old Justin Verlander, Frank, with 226, and he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. 37-year-old Max Scherzer, who won his first start for the Dodgers last night, has just 184, the same number as fellow three-time Cy Young winner Clayton Kershaw. Glavine finished with 305, which is so impressive, and yet 50 wins short of his longtime teammate Greg Maddux.
Man, remember John Smoltz on that staff as well. You know, you think about 300 wins, that was the measuring stick for, you know, these great all-time pitchers. You know, right now, Jacob deGrom, the most dominant pitcher in baseball over the last, what, 3 or 4 years, he has 77. He ain't getting a 300.
Not going to get to 200 at that rate.
It's amazing. It really is.
Happy trails to an out at home for the Marlins. Javi Baez showed more of his base running magic in the second inning last night. Baez is on third base, looks dead to rights when Jesus Aguilar fielded a grounder to first and threw home, but Javi slides head first, baiting Alec Jackson's tag toward his left hand, which he then pulls back while touching home plate with his right. That made it 2-0 Mets. The game was later tied at 3 when Javi homered to put the Mets ahead for good. He barked at the Marlins and their fans as he trotted home. Of course, Baez's most indelible base running play of the season happened back in late May when he was in the right uniform, when he lured Pirates first baseman Will Craig into chasing him back to the plate, when all Craig had to do was step on first. A week later, Pittsburgh released Craig. He's now playing in Korea. Meanwhile, the Cubs sent Baez to the Mets, and I'm still angry a week later.
I'll tell you what, Javi Baez has brought a bit of an edge to the Mets. There were a couple of games down there where he was looking at the pitching staff in the Marlins saying you're chirping too much. If it makes you feel any better, Mike, today, Mets lose to the Marlins. Javi Baez, 0 for 5, 5 strikeouts.
I don't root against Javi. I root against the Mets. I hate the Mets, but Javi.
They're struggling.
Still love Javi. Struggling. A melancholy trails to J.R. Richard. The former Astros ace died today at the age of 71. He had been hospitalized last month with complications from COVID. Richard was one of the league's most dominant pitchers, and his career was cut short by a stroke he suffered while playing catch before a game in 1980. At the time, Richard was just 30 years old. He was 10-4 with a 1.90 ERA. He'd been the starting pitcher for the National League in the All-Star Game 3 weeks before that. He won 107 games in all and led the National League in strikeouts twice. Hall of Famer Joe Morgan said, quote, "He had the greatest stuff I have ever seen, and it still gives me goosebumps to think of what he might have become."
I'll tell you what, at 6'8", he was an intimidating presence. And, Mike, you know, it's a good lesson, because if you go back to the days and weeks before that stroke, he had been complaining about not feeling well. And the Houston organization, fans, media, people say, oh, he's just complaining. He's upset about his contract. He's not really hurt. Oh, really? And people always bring that up today, the situation with J.R. Richard, thinking that, you know what, oh, yeah, he was making that up. No, he wasn't. He wasn't feeling well. He needed to be taken better care of.
You know, Frank, I'm glad you brought that up because so many years later, we can go back to the Olympics 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And if somebody does the part of it with Simone and Biles, and when, if people don't immediately push through, there is this skepticism.
That's right.
There is a cynicism about what athletes can endure physically and emotionally. And I think we all need to be
And Mike,
more
think
attention.
About this. He was struggling. It was 10-4. That's how good of a pitcher he
was. With a sub-2 ERA.
Right.
How about that?
That's right.
No errors today. Let's go to the big thing. Hall of Fame game tonight, Cowboys-Steelers. Are you even paying attention to that, Frank?
You know, no preseason games last year. How about if I give it a quarter? Is that okay?
One quarter.
The Vikings activated quarterbacks Kirk Cousins and Nate Stanley from the reserve COVID-19 list. Is that a big deal?
Let's see how the Vikings as a team respond as a team. Let's see what happens. But they're sort of up and down. You can't figure out the Vikings in the best of times. Shohei Ohtani won to move to 6-1 with a 2.93 ERA. You're impressed, aren't you?
All right, the Angels are back to .500. No Trout, no Anthony Rendon. I will say this. Maybe he'll be the Cy Young and the MVP this year. That's the way that he's trending towards right now.
Man,
Julius Randle agreed to a 4-year, $117 million contract extension with the Knicks. Is that significant?
It's significance in the context of Kimba Walker being one, and Evan Fournier,
being healthy,
who's going to play in that gold medal game against the U.S., helps having them aboard. It really does.
Yeah.
They need that firepower.
Yeah.
Last one, the Olympic women's soccer team won the bronze by beating Australia 4-3. Frank, your thoughts?
Disappointing tournament, but they did get the bronze. By the way, Carly Lloyd might have played in her last significant game. She scored 2 goals, so she went out in style. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
Didn't Megan Rapinoe have the other 2 goals?
Yeah, the other 2.
That was a good way.
Right.
Yeah,
they both
good way
might
to
be
everybody. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.